Alma,
chapter 37, verse 1. And now, my son Helaman, I command you that you take the records which have been entrusted with me. Verse 2. And I also command you that you keep a record of this people, according as I have done upon the plates of Nephi, and keep all these things sacred which I have kept, even as I have kept them. For it is for a wise purpose that they are kept. The these things mentioned in verse 2 had to do with all of the plates of Nephi, the large plates, the small plates, the brass plates of Laban, the 24 plates of gold, the record of the Jaredites, the Liahona and the interpreters, the Urim and Thummim. All of these things are now being entrusted to Helaman by his father Alma. Alma asked Nephihah, the chief judge over the land, to keep these records, but Nephihah refused. Therefore they were given to Helaman for safekeeping. Verse 3. These plates of brass, which contain these engravings, which have the records of the holy scriptures upon them, which have the genealogy of our fathers even from the beginning, behold, 4. It has been prophesied by our father that they should be kept and handed down from one generation to another, and be kept and preserved by the hand of the Lord until they should go forth unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, that they might know the mysteries contained thereon. Now, the Book of Mormon contains some of the mysteries that were written upon the brass plates, but the brass plates contains much more of the mysteries of God. The prophecy that they would be kept and preserved until they should go forth unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people indicates that at some future day the brass plates will be made public to all people, as the Book of Mormon is to all people at this time. The brass plates also contain the genealogy of Abraham back to Seth, the son of Noah, and from Noah back to Enoch, and from Enoch through the patriarchs back to Adam. These records we do not possess at this current time. Verse 5, and now behold, if they are kept, they must retain their brightness. Yea, they will retain their brightness, yea, and also shall all the plates which do contain that which is holy writ. The brightness doesn't have so much to do with the polish appearance of the plates, as much as the message would remain undimmed and bright. To retain their brightness means to keep them preserved so that they're not prostituted, adulterated, and changed, as has been done to the Bible. It is a difficult thing to preserve and protect these records in the telestial world. Every form of darkness and evil that's found here seeks to combine their powers in order to destroy these sacred records. Verse 6. Now you may suppose that this is foolishness in me, but behold, I say unto you that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass. And small means, in many instances, doth confound the wise. Verse 7. And the Lord doth work by means to bring about his great and eternal purposes, and by very small means the Lord doth confound the wise and bringeth about the salvation of many souls. According to 1 Nephi chapter 16, verse 29, one of these small means was the Liahona. Verse 29, there was also written upon them a new writing, which was plain to be read, which did give us understanding concerning the ways of the Lord. It was written and changed from time to time, according to the faith and diligence which we gave unto it. This part. And thus we see that by small means the Lord can bring about great things. Another thing would be the brass serpent attached to the staff of Moses, referred to in 1 Nephi 17, verse 41. And he did strengthen them in the wilderness with his rod, for they hardened their hearts even as ye have. The Lord straightened them because of their iniquity. He sent fiery flying serpents among them, and after they were bitten, he prepared a way that they might be healed. Now, this is the small and simple thing. And the labor which they had to perform was to look, and because of the simpleness of the way, or the easiness of it, there were many who perished. Another example of this principle is in Doctrine and Covenants, section 64, verse 33, where the Lord says, "Wherefore, be not weary in well-doing, for ye are laying the foundation of a great work." Here we go. "And out of small things proceedeth that which is great." One more example is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." The commission of the Lord to the prophet Joseph Smith to be the dispensation head to usher in the dispensation of the fullness of times is another example of "by small and simple things are great things brought to pass." Usually the life-changing experiences in a man or a woman come not by great experiences, but by small, quiet, and seemingly insignificant things. These things can have a ripple effect and go outward and affect thousands and thousands of people. Verse 8, "And now it has hitherto been wisdom in God that these things should be preserved. For behold, they have enlarged the memory of this people, yea, and convinced many of the error of their ways, and brought them to a knowledge of the Lord their God and salvation to their souls." Here are three purposes in verse 8. At the preservation of these records that are being entrusted to Helaman have accomplished in the lives of other ones. Number one, enlarge the memory of this people. The records are historic in one nature and point the people back continually to remember the experiences and history of their fathers. Number two, convince many of the errors of their ways. The sons of Mosiah had copies of these scriptures, and one of the reasons their success among the Lamanites was so tremendous is they were able to refer directly to the scriptural source, having them before them as they taught. And number three, bring them to a knowledge of their God and to the salvation of their souls. It's difficult to worship a being that you have no idea of. The scriptures reveal a character of God and the manner of his workings with his children. Verse 9, "Yea, I say unto you, were it not for these things that these records do contain, which are on these plates, Ammon and his brethren could not have convinced so many thousands of the Lamanites of their incorrect traditions of their fathers. Yea, these records and their words brought them unto repentance," that is, they brought them to the knowledge of the Lord their God, and to rejoice in Jesus Christ, their Redeemer. 10, "And who knoweth but what they will be the means of bringing many thousands of them," the Lamanites, "and also many thousands of our stiff-necked brethren, the Nephites, who are now hardening their hearts in sin and iniquities, to the knowledge of their Redeemer." At the time that Alma is speaking these words to his son Helaman, the Spirit of the Lord is withdrawing from the Nephite population. The chief judge has his hands full dealing with the population and the crimes that are being committed by this people. The church has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. The sound of war can be heard, and the government is being split by political intrigue and divisiveness. Verse 11, "Now these mysteries are not yet fully made known unto me, therefore I shall forbear." The mysteries here are referring up to verse 10, where Alma says, "Who knoweth but what they," meaning these records, "will be the means of bringing many thousands of the Lamanites and also many thousands of our Nephite brethren to a knowledge of their Redeemer." These records have done such in the past. There has a pattern been established, but Alma has not had it revealed to him what will yet take place in the future concerning these very things. Verse 12, "And it may suffice if I only say they are preserved for a wise purpose, which purpose is known unto God. For he doth counsel and wisdom over all his works, and his paths are straight, and his course is one eternal round." Another one of the mysteries that Alma doesn't know about has to do with the coming forth of these records at a future day to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. These things are not yet made, notice the word, fully unto me. He has received impressions and promptings, dreams and visions, but has not been shown through the spirit of prophecy and revelation the full fulfillment and extent that these records will have yet on future generations near him and far into the prophetic distance. Verse 13, Oh, remember, my son Helaman, how strict are the commandments of God. And he said, If ye will keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. But if ye shall not keep his commandments, ye shall be cut off from his presence. There is the great Book of Mormon promise concerning the inhabitants of this land. Being strictly obedient isn't something that you can bring to pass by sheer willpower. Strict obedience and observance of one's covenants only come when your heart is changed. With that change of heart, one realizes how careful and prudent and wise we need to be in our reborn condition, in other words, strict, in order to keep from losing that favored status and falling from grace. 14. And now remember, my son, that God has entrusted you with these things which are sacred, which he has kept sacred, and also which he will keep and preserve for a wise purpose in him, that he may show forth his power unto future generations. The fulfillment of that is being realized as we read the words on this page. For surely the English translation of the Book of Mormon that we have before us is a partial fulfillment of the preservation and coming forth of these ancient records in our day. There is more coming. There are many, many sacred records kept in caves, libraries, and archives, watched over by the descendants of those who originally recorded them, destined to come forward in our day to give added testimony and witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacred work among fathers' children. Verse 15, And now behold, I tell you by the spirit of prophecy, that if ye transgress the commandments of God, behold, these things which are sacred shall be taken away from you by the power of God, and ye shall be delivered up unto Satan, that he may sift you as chaff before the wind. 16. But if you keep the commandments of God, and do with these things which are sacred according to that which the Lord doth command you, for you must appeal unto the Lord for all things whatsoever ye must do with them, behold, no power on earth or hell can take them from you, for God is powerful to the fulfilling of all his words. This admonition and warning given to Helaman by his father is typical of the watch care of ancient recorders and chroniclers who have a stewardship for preserving and protecting these ancient records. I quote the words of one ancient protector of sacred records, dated at around 775 AD. I have remained in order to seal up the archives in the mountains. Yea, I shall close the entries and make fast the records, that they may be preserved. Wherefore I hide in the caverns with a few trusty men left to me, and we shall close up the openings. Behold, it shall become a tradition among us that there shall always be some few who shall tarry to protect the archives until the day that the Lord shall bring them again out of their long sleep into the light. Yea, there shall always be men, few or many as may be, who shall tarry to watch over these records, and who have diligently beseeched the Lord to give them power, that they might preserve the records against they who might desire them for gain or to destroy them. Wherever sacred records have been deposited, this is the pattern of their protection and preservation. Back over to Alma 37, verse 19. And now behold, one purpose hath he fulfilled, even to the restoration of many thousands of the Lamanites to a knowledge of the truth, and he hath shown forth his power in them, and he will also still show forth his power in them unto future generations. Therefore they shall be preserved. 20. Therefore I command you, my son Helaman, that ye be diligent in fulfilling all my words, be diligent in keeping the commandments of God as they are written. Another word for commandments is revelations. So Helaman becomes the record keeper of the sacred repository of the Nephite canon. What a tremendous responsibility, which tells us volumes about this young man, that Alma would choose him for such a great responsibility. For there is danger attached to this task. All hell would like to destroy this library of sacred writ. Helaman will need to become a prophet, seer, and a revelator in his own right in order to fulfill the charge given to him by his father. Verse 21, And now I will speak unto you concerning those 24 plates, that ye keep them, that the mysteries and the works of darkness and their secret works, or the secret works of those people who have been destroyed, may be made manifest unto this people, yea, all their murders and robbings and their plunderings, all their wickedness and abominations may be made manifest unto this people, yea, and that ye preserve these interpreters. Now these interpreters are the two stones, the Urim and Thummim, that Mosiah had, and were probably found along with the 24 plates of gold that were hidden up by ether so that they could be found by the people of Limhi. This is the same Urim and Thummim that Joseph had, which he received with the plates and the other sacred artifacts under Moroni's tutelage. Part of Helaman's charge is to teach the people the purpose of the destruction of these Jaredites, that it was because of their secret works of darkness, their satanic mysteries, and their secret combinations that caused the murders, robbings, and plunderings, all their wickedness and abomination. These things should be taught to remind the Nephites not to fall into the same traps. Verse 22, For behold, the Lord saw that his people began to work in darkness, yea, work secret murders and abominations. Therefore the Lord said, If they did not repent, they should be destroyed from off the face of the earth. And they did not repent, and they were destroyed, leaving behind the record of this people, the Jaredites. Verse 23, And the Lord said, I will prepare unto my servant Gazalem a stone, which shall shine forth in darkness unto light, that I may discover unto my people who serve me, that I may discover unto them the secret works of their brethren, yea, their secret works, their works of darkness, and their wickedness and abominations. Gazalem is an ancient word that means a seer. And this seer would have a stone given to him, a stone, notice singular, which would shine forth in darkness unto light and bring hidden things of darkness into the light of day to be viewed by all nations, kindreds, tongues, and peoples. The Book of Mormon, which was brought forth by the use of stones, two stones in the Urim and Thummim, and a seer stone, at least one or more, in the possession of Joseph Smith, qualified him to have this title, Gazalem. At the Prophet Joseph's funeral in 1844, William W. Phelps said the following as a part of the eulogy, Surely, as one of the holy ones commissioned by his father among the royal 70 when the last council of heaven set them apart to come down and multiply and replenish the earth, he was the last, and who knows, but the greatest, for he declared, we know not who he was. So I may say, as the last is to be first, and the first last in eternal rotation, that Joseph Smith, who was Gezalem in the spirit world, was and is and will be in the endless progress of eternity, the Prince of Light. 'Tis so, and who can dispute it? While there may have been others anciently who bore the title of Gezalem, a seer, and used stones to bring hidden things of darkness into the light, surely Joseph was the great latter-day seer and Gezalem, who said this, for there are many yet on earth among all sects, parties, and denominations who are blinded by the subtle craftiness of men wherein they lie in wait to deceive, and who are only kept from the truth because they know not where to find it. Therefore, that we should waste and wear out our lives in bringing to light, here we go, all the hidden things of darkness wherein we know them, and they are truly manifest from heaven. These, the hidden things of darkness, should be attended to with great earnestness. Let no man count them as small things, for there is much which lieth in futurity pertaining to the saints, which depends upon these things. What things? Bringing hidden things of darkness into light. That is found in Doctrine and Covenants, section 123, verses 12 through 15. Verse 27. And now, my son, I command you that you retain all their oaths and their covenants and their agreements and their secret abominations and all their signs and their wonders. Ye shall keep from this people, that they know them not, lest peradventure they should fall into darkness also and be destroyed. Helaman's commanded to teach the results of secret combinations in verse 21, but the details of how to enter into these combinations and receive power from the dark ones through their covenants, agreements, secret abominations, signs, and wonders, those details and specifics are to not be taught to the people. They are to be kept in secret. We'll learn much more about these signs and wonders, covenants, agreements, and secret abominations when we get into the book of Ether. Verse 28, for behold, there is a curse upon all this land, that destruction shall come upon all those workers of darkness according to the power of God when they are fully ripe. Therefore, I desire that this people might not be destroyed. 29, therefore, ye shall keep these secret plans of their oaths, their covenants from this people, and only their wickedness and their murders and their abominations shall ye make known unto them. Ye shall teach them to abhor such wickedness and abominations and murders. Ye shall also teach them that these people were destroyed on account of their wickedness and abominations and their murders. Verse 30, for behold, they murdered all the prophets of the Lord who came among them to declare unto them concerning their iniquities, and the blood of those whom they murdered did cry unto the Lord their God for vengeance upon those who were their murderers. And thus the judgments of God did come upon these workers of darkness and secret combinations. These secret combinations and workers of darkness are alive and well right now in our day. They have their covenants, their agreements, their secret abominations, their signs and wonders. They have their secret plans, their oaths, and their covenants. It is the counterfeit opposite of covenants of light and power, which have their associated laws, covenants, tokens, names, and signs. These are a part of the sacred endowment of power administered in the temples of the Lord throughout the earth. There is a reason why the Lord refers to the temple endowment as an endowment of power. The dark ones have taken the endowment of light and counterfeited it to their own endowment of darkness, which also gives them power. The endowment of power given in the temples of the Lord is that of light and truth, intelligence, and power, which lifts, edifies, and ennobles God's children, bringing them through a process illustrated through ceremony and allegory, which changes their very nature through the atonement of Christ and makes them sanctified and godly. The endowment of darkness, the counterfeit of God's endowment, is based upon selfishness and individual greed and lust for power, authority, and wealth or gain. Some of these societies we're familiar with from ancient times, and some that are active in our day. They include the Knights Templar, the Ku Klux Klan, the Thule Society, Opus Dei, the Black Hand, elements of Freemasonry, the Bilderberger Group, the Illuminati, the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, Rosicrucians, the Order of Skull and Bones, the Elders of Zion, Hashashin, Ordo Templis Orientis, and Bohemian Grove. Subsets of these orders are the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the United Nations. All of these organizations and orders are designed to overthrow the freedom of all lands, nations, and countries, and brings to pass the destruction of all people. Ether chapter 8, verse 25. Back to Alma 37, verse 31. Yea, and cursed be the land forever and ever unto those workers of darkness and secret combinations, even unto the destruction, except they repent before they are fully ripe. Alma is very explicit in his instructions to Helaman that the details of these written oaths, signs, and wonders should be kept strictly from the people. Teach them the results of such things, but do not reveal the wording, the ceremony, or the ordinances involved in these dark endowments. The term in verse 28 and verse 31, fully ripe, is a distinct term found in the Book of Mormon. It's the difference between ripe and fully ripe. When a civilization becomes fully ripe, there is only one outcome, and that is total destruction. You can be ripe for some time and still have the offering and invitation of repentance extended to us by the Lord. But when a people become fully ripe, the time for repentance is now past, and the students in the school need to be transplanted to a different schoolroom. Verse 32, and now my son, remember the words I have spoken unto you. Trust not those secret plans unto this people. And now Alma's going to give a beautiful Book of Mormon list, step by step, on what's required to enter into the rest of the Lord. Back to the middle of verse 32. But teach them, number one, an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Verse 33. Number two, preach unto them repentance. And number three, faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to, number four, humble themselves And number 5, to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to, number 6, withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 34, teach them, number 7, to never be weary of good works, but to, number 8, be meek and lowly in heart. And here's the promise, for such shall find rest to their souls. Compare the warnings against workers of iniquity in the previous verses with those who are the true followers of Jesus Christ and apply these 8 steps mentioned in these 3 verses in order to enter into the rest of the Lord. Verse 35, O remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. We saw 2 examples in yesterday's general conference address where a young man and a young woman were invited to speak to the general membership of the church throughout the world. They have learned and are learning wisdom in their youth. That wisdom comes to them because of their faith in keeping the commandments of God. It was beautiful to see and listen to these 2 young youths speak to us. 36. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let all thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. It is possible to come to a place in this life, through the born-again process of the atonement of Jesus Christ, to where your thoughts more or less are continually upon the Lord throughout any given day. Amulek referred to this same process in Alma 34, verse 27. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts, here we go, be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those who are around you. We can live in a state of gratitude and thanksgiving. The indigenous peoples of this country and their ancestors referred to it as walking upon the thanksgiving way. Verse 37, counsel in the Lord with all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if you do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. I have found out from my own personal experience that the Lord loves to reason with me. In section 50, starting in verse 10, the Lord says, wherefore let every man beware, lest he do that which is not in truth and righteousness before me. Now how can we determine that? Now come, saith the Lord, by the Spirit unto the elders of his church, let us reason together, that ye may understand what the Lord considers truth and righteousness, so that we can follow that path. Verse 11, let us reason even as a man reasoneth one with another face to face. 12, now when a man reasoneth, he is understood of man, because he reasoneth as a man. Even so will I, the Lord, reason with you, that you may understand. This to me is a good scriptural reference pertaining to what the Lord says in verse 37, counsel with the Lord in all thy doings. I've also found that the last hour of the day determines pretty much what's going to happen all night long when you sleep. I try to reserve the last hour before bed to settle the day with the Lord. I spend time with him early in the morning and in prayer, and then reserve that last hour in the day to review and redo things that could have been done better. When I end my day just before sleep in this way, my sleep is much more restful, and I am more open to dreams and revelations in the night, receiving from the Lord what He would give me. If the last hour of the day has been on the things of the world, entertainment, violence, confusion, and chaos, then my night is likely to be reflective of that last hour. Verse 38, And now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning the thing which our fathers call a ball or director, or our fathers called it Leahona, which is being interpreted a compass, and the Lord prepared it. This sacred relic is also being given to Helaman for his trust. This is the first time that the word Leahona is mentioned to describe this round ball of curious workmanship. Hugh Nibley's favorite interpretation of the word Leahona is, God is our guide. Verse 39, Behold, there cannot any man work after the manner of so curious a workmanship. And behold, it was prepared to show unto our fathers the course which they should travel in the wilderness, the wilderness being a symbol of mortality. And it did work for them according to their faith in God. Therefore, if they had faith to believe that God should cause that those spindles should point the way they should go, behold, it was done. Therefore, they had this miracle and also many other miracles wrought by the power of God day by day. Here's a reference back to verses 6 and 7 in Alma 37. Nevertheless, verse 41, because those miracles were worked by small means, it did show unto them marvelous work. They were slothful and forgot to exercise their faith and diligence, and then those marvelous works ceased, and they did not progress in their journey. In our quest to follow the counsel of President Nelson for the members to seek to hear the voice of the Lord and to receive personal revelation, it's good to remember that the fulfillment of that seeking will come in small and simple ways. When we ask, seek, and knock before God, His response to our asking, seeking, and knocking is going to be small and still. The great challenge for us in the telestial world is to learn how to receive, recognize, and heed the voice of God delivered to us by the Holy Ghost through the light of Christ. It is always small and still. Being diligent in keeping the commandments of God, along with being steadfast and immovable, requires daily effort, steadfastness, strictness, and immovability. Immortality cannot be practiced in a sporadic manner. These things, your devotions and gratitude, must be daily. One missed day in our efforts to please God and draw near unto Him results in lost ground that must be made up. Verse 42, Therefore they tarried in the wilderness, or did not travel a direct course, and were afflicted with hunger and thirst because of their transgressions. The opposite of a direct course is a winding path. This winding path is broad, and many can traverse this path, winding and broad, in groups. The straight and narrow path is traveled by one person at a time. This path, which leads to light and life, is individual, intimate, and specific. Verse 43, And now, my son, I would that ye should understand that these things are not without a shadow. For as our fathers were slothful to give heed to this compass, now these things were temporal, they did not prosper, even so it is with things which are spiritual. In verse 42, it talks about being afflicted with hunger and thirst because of transgressions. There is a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst, which is very dangerous in that a person can be perishing from hunger and thirst spiritually and not realize that they are dying. Verse 44, For behold, it is as easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point you a straight course to eternal bliss, as it was for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which would point unto them a straight course to the promised land. The promised land symbolically meaning exaltation and eternal life. The spiritual compass being the light of Christ, the gift of the Holy Ghost, and the ministry of angels. Those three guides and voices do not wander in the wilderness. Their course is a straight, white-hot beam of light and truth. Verse 45, and now I say, is there not a type in this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. 46. O my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way. To be slothful is to be inactive, sluggish, lazy, indolent, or idle. The opposite of strict and diligent, steadfast, and immovable. Back to verse 46. For so it was with our fathers, for so it was prepared for them, that if they would look, they might live. That's referring to the brass serpent upon Moses' staff. Even so it is with us. The way is prepared, and if we will look, we may live forever. Verse 47. Now, my son, see that ye take care of these sacred things, yea, see that ye look to God and live. Go unto this people and declare the word, and be sober, my son. Farewell. And so concludes the words of Alma to his son Helaman. May the Lord bless us to liken these words unto us in our day and into our individual situations, that we may learn and profit from this counsel. Given 2,093 years ago is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.